You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places.
We'll be right back.
Amen. Lord, light that fire again. We can't generate it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to light that fire again in our lives. And of course, that song is by Brian Dirksen, who just recently passed away. This is one of his early songs that is very meaningful to me and to many others. And this was one of the songs, you know, I had been talking about him last week. But this is one of the songs that when I had been backslid for a while, 7 years, and then when I returned to the Lord, this album that this is on, plus the song I played last week, Come Now Is the Time to Worship, those were both very instrumental in leading me back to the Lord and helping to keep me steadfast, seeking after the Lord. And of course, that song is based out of Revelation 3, which I'll read in just a minute. But I want to introduce my co-host for today, my only co-host, Scene. Oh, hey. Brother Scene, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. I just want to say no longer will they call you deserted, but you shall be called my delight is in her, for the Lord delights in you, Karen. It's Isaiah 62, verse 4.
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you, thank you. And Deanne is out today. She has an appointment with her husband. Her husband has an appointment, and she has to accompany him there. And then Nanette's a little bit under the weather this morning, so we let her have the day off. She would have taken it anyway. Good morning, Nanette. Good morning, Deanne. You guys may be driving and be on the road now. So blessings to both of you today. So I'm hearing the Lord say today, the invitation, he's giving an invitation. So I have a couple of things I want to read, and then the Lord, he'll make it all make sense. So that song, again, is based on Revelation 3:17, and it's the message to the church of Laodicea. And let me just read it, and then I'll tell you what the Lord said. So it says, write this letter to the angel of the church of Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm, like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I don't have everything. Or I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need anything. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. And I know in the other translations they say repent, repent. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. And then it goes on to say, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and you open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious, this is the promise of that, those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So, you know, I have that scripture came to me, you know, during my prayer time this week. And then also, I had a dream. Well, let me say this. Let me say this first. So I just wrote this yesterday. It says, are you in a slump? You don't know what way to turn? You feel like nothing's happening? You're not sure which way to turn? Someone had said to me the other day, you know, I'm just tired of everything, but I don't know what to do. Are you asking God for different things to appease your flesh? Whether it's family situations, financial problems, or it could be anything else. We are forever asking the Lord for what we need, an endless list of things and stuff that we want. We want answers to issues and problems, yet we feel like nothing is happening. It's kind of like when the little kid's going, Mom, 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 Mommy, Mom, Mom. I don't have kids, but I know I have friends that have kids. And they say that the kids just keep going on and on and on, Mom, Mom, for what they want. And I feel like today that the Lord is inviting us to ask him, "What, Lord, will you show me what it is that I need?" So now I know from experience, you know, we go through the vicissitudes of life, and we go through spiritual seasons. So when we're in the season when we feel like we're down, that's when we're always like asking for things, you know, because it's like when we're hungry for something. So we're always asking, we're looking, we're trying to fill ourselves with different things to fill up that void. But this is the time the Lord is saying to you, think about being Laodicean in this hour. I know I've been feeling kind of not in a slump, but just kind of, okay, well, what's happening? You know, just kind of watching and waiting and, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like the Lord just showed it to me. He said, ask me what I want you to have. Ask me to give you what you need, not what you want, because we're always asking them, you know, take care of my kids, save my kids, save my family, on and on and on. You know, and the Word says that he knows everything that we need. But what if we would ask him for what does he want? And he is saying, he's telling us here, ask of me, come and buy gold that has been purified by fire. It's something that you cannot purchase on your own. You can only, by faith, apprehend what Jesus has done for you. This is about your walk with the Lord, in that he is inviting you today to put everything aside and ask him, Lord, what do you want me? Show me what I need. What I need between you and the Lord. Not, you know, your bank account, none of that stuff. It's that personal thing with the Lord. The Lord is refining his church and things are accelerating in the spirit. And if you get to the point, you just can't keep up with the things that are going on. Sorry, I'm not laughing about that. But but things are beginning to accelerate in the spirit. So we've got to stay in step with the spirit. You know, it says that, I don't know where it is, but I know it's in there. To stay in step, keep in step with the spirit. And it's only through that intimate time that you spend with the Lord and surrendering everything to him that you're going to be able to be strengthened and walk with him. So let me tell you, I had this dream on Sunday. It doesn't matter what day I had it. But in this dream, I heard the voice behind me saying, go here and go into that room and talk to that gentleman. And it was, you know, maybe it was like an assisted living or an old folks home. Not many details regarding that. And So I went into the room, and there was an older gentleman sitting there, you know, just sitting in the chair. So I was having a conversation with him, and I'm thinking, why am I here? You know, just visiting. And suddenly he stood up, and there he was in full dress, military uniform, like an army uniform. And he said, oh, I'd like to invite you to my wedding today. I'm getting married today. I'd like to invite you to my wedding. And, you know, as a woman would usually say, well, I don't have anything to wear. And that was my reaction. And then I woke up from the dream. So I was asking the Lord. I mean, to me, it's a very simple dream and it's very obvious what the meaning is. And that, you know, that he represented the Lord. Jesus is the Lord of hosts. He's the head of the army. He's the head of everything. And he was inviting me. So then he says to me in Revelation 19:9, where it said, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, a lot of stuff in Revelation I don't understand, but I kind of take things at face value, that the Lord is saying, you're blessed because I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, have you been invited? Not everybody's invited. And when you know that you're invited to a place, then you're going to kind of, you know, see what you got to do when you get there. And you're going to prepare yourself, just as a bride prepares herself for marriage. You know, you're going to start looking around and just getting yourself set up to go to that wedding. And I know in the dream I said, well, I do have a pair of white pants, white denim jeans, I think. And then I didn't have a white top. So that's neither here nor there. But anyway, the Lord's inviting us today to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you don't know him, even if you do know him, I just think about all the years. You know, I received the Lord in 1977, you know, but you don't know everything right at the beginning. You know, it takes time and years and all kind of to effort to enter into the kingdom. You know, it's through much suffering that we enter the kingdom. And that suffering is dying to our flesh in order to get there. Scene's making faces at me. But anyway, the Lord is inviting us today. And time is winding down. Things are accelerating. Time is accelerating. If you think about it, you know, I remember as a teenager, you know, you think you have all the time in the world, and then all those old people are, you know, we don't need those old people. You know, we'll just do our thing right now. But then now I'm one of those old people, and realizing that, you know, there's many things that, you know, am I going to be able to do these many things that I've thought about doing? But what has become the priority is knowing that I have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that I need to do whatever I can to prepare myself to attend that. Jesus paid the price. So we just have to receive what he did for us and buy that gold that was refined in the fire by him. And get ourselves ready, make ourselves ready to meet with him. And Isaiah 55, 1-3 is also another invitation. Let me turn there. Isaiah 55. If I had my other Bible, it would stuff easily opens. All right. So now in this particular Bible that I have, which is a New Living. Here's the title, Isaiah 55:3, the invitation to the Lord's salvation. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good, and you will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, and I will give you all the unfailing love that I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the people. I made him a leader among the nations. And then down into verse 6, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. This is the day to seek the Lord. I don't know how else to say it. There's a call. The Lord is giving an invitation. He's calling today. And he's, you know, ask him to light the fire again in your life. If you've been saved for a long time and you just kind of ho-hum and just kind of plugging away in life, ask the Lord to light the fire, to ignite that fire for him. Return to your first love. You know, Jesus is your first love. He's the only love we ever need. Return to him and ask him to light that fire again. Praise God. And Sean, what do you got?
Well, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just new to us. It's not new to God, but, you know, there's a new guy on the scene, and he's Isaiah 54:16. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the raviger to destroy. And there is a new smith on the scene, it seems like, because the fire is really beginning to get hot. And as one man said in Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has always been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. You know, it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. And the fire is come. And he wants us to begin to wear the garments that will bring us to that wedding feast. He wants us to come in. You know, his providence has a calendar. His fire has a duration. And gold has a furnace schedule. So you're not behind, you're not early, but you're in God's time. I think what Karen's been talking about is the timings of God. You know, as it tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, for everything, there's a time, a season, and its purpose. Time is not random. Time is covenant with God. Stuff happens. Life cycles. We have to learn how to roll with these things because God made everything beautiful in its time, in his time, the appointed time. You can look at Joseph when he was in prison. That wasn't a mistake. It was only a season. So nothing in your life is wasted because God is turning your dross into gold. The fire of God is not punishment. It's the artistry of God. Think about it. The artistry of Almighty God. That's why it's so important to understand there's a season for everything, and it's our responsibility to recognize God's timings, not to change the time, but to recognize God's timing. It's our responsibility to accept and cooperate with God's timing. Our alignment with God's timing makes the difference in everything, because God has made everything appropriate in its time. He has put eternity in the hearts of men so that we can trust God to communicate his timing. And, you know, we can do nothing better during our lifetime than to rejoice and do good. In other words, to glorify and honor him in all of our words, in all of our deeds. But think about it. His providence has a calendar. He's sovereign. He will do what only he can do the way he wants it done. But know this, know beyond the shadow of a doubt that your dross is being turned into gold, because it's the fire of God. It's not his punishment. It's his artistry.
Hallelujah. Amen. I believe there's a spiritual awakening happening at the moment as well, and that we want to fan into flame, you know, those things that God has put in us, you know, me included. You know, I want that fire ignited in my life again. You know, where it's all about him, and that we're caught up with the Lord, and that we are that our hearts are so in tuned with him that, like he says, when you'll hear that voice behind you, this is the way, walk ye in it. You know, if you feel like you have to catch up, then ask the Lord to help you to catch up. If you feel like you're going too fast, then ask the Lord to help you to slow down and be right in that right timing with him. I was looking at Psalm 80. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Lord, we need to be awakened to the promise of salvation and the power of restoration. Come, Holy Spirit, and move mightily on our behalf to awaken a slumbering church. Shine your light upon us to separate out the lies from the truth. We cannot do this on our own, so we ask you to come and manifest the might and power of the kingdom among us. You know, somebody had, there's a new programmer we have on, and she had sent me a song off of YouTube the other day. So the picture that goes with the song was this vast army, you know, just lined up in formation. And the song, I don't even remember the name of the song, but it was, I just saw, like, the picture, it went on and on and on with all the army of the Lord, those that are in the army of the Lord. And, you know, we're all part of that. And when our sights are set on the Lord, when our sights are forward, looking forward, not looking back, we've spent enough time in the church looking back at our lives and trying to navel gaze and trying to figure out what happened when we were five. You know, we've got to move past that. We've got to move into the now, what God is doing now. And the Lord is awakening the nations. He's awakening his church. He's awakening his people. And it's, I just see this forsaking, to forsake everything that we want on this earth. Nothing is going to satisfy us in this earth. Even if we have money, even if everybody in the family is saved, even if all of it, everything is perfect in your life, it's still not enough. It's nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus has planned. Having your family saved is not the be-all, end-all. It's what is God calling you to? What are you called to do in the kingdom? Are you fulfilling your purpose in the kingdom in him? Are your eyes looking at him? is your heart turned towards him? We've got to take a break, and we'll be back in just a second, a couple of minutes.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
When you pray.
Hello, this is Rachel.
And Alexa.
We invite you to join us live for God's Got It.
Each Thursday morning at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Amen. We're back. Sorry, I had turned the volume down on the board, so maybe you weren't able to hear some of those promo spots. So welcome back. And again, talking about the Lord is giving an invitation to those who are kind of sleepy, to those who are lukewarm, to those that, you know, maybe you feel like life has passed you by. But it hasn't. The Lord is calling. He's been calling forever. He's been calling for us forever. But as Sean was talking about, there's times and seasons where maybe the calling is a little more specific, a little more, I don't know what the word is, specific time, specific season, purpose. Purpose. Don't you like to know the purpose of something? What's the purpose? A lot of people, I know I, for a lot of years, stumble through life. Oh, what am I doing here? What am I supposed to do? You know, just kind of stumble around doing things. And I think many in the body of Christ do that. Stumble around. Well, I received Jesus, but, you know, I'm still kind of living my life and doing whatever I want. Well, let me bring this up. So Perez Hilton, who many of you may know, Hollywood influencer, he got saved earlier this year. And so imagine this guy going from being an influencer on Hollywood gossip and all the other stuff to, you know, almost dying and then having a visitation from the Lord, and the Lord revealed himself to this guy. And when he came out of the hospital, he's received Jesus and started just like from one day to the next. Before, he's talking about Hollywood people, and then the next day he's talking about his salvation, you know, in knowing God, and that he was going to read the Bible. So he, like, every day he started reading the Bible. So here's a guy that you know, who knows if he went to church, but it was somebody that the Lord touched and you know, impacted his life. He encountered Perez Hilton. So here he is since January. So imagine you're speaking to your same listeners who you had before, but now you're talking to them about God. And then people, I guess, were not happy with that. So a lot of people left him and, you know, you're weird, whatever. So he started losing listeners. And so a couple of days ago, you know, I guess he had some episode and he was on a live stream and, you know, it wasn't good. So they ended up taking him to the hospital. And, you know, maybe it was a mental breakdown. I don't know. But I believe it was spiritual warfare that, you know, he didn't have covering. Maybe he wasn't in church. And he was, you know, like many people, they try to do their own salvation. They try to slog it out on their own, you know, only going by, like, the encounter itself was like the starting point. But you know, not having any type of discipleship or, you know, any kind of godly friends that are with you. So he just continued on. And so whatever he had with that episode and, you know, was hospitalized. So we, you know, we just pray that God will again minister to him and to send godly people around him. And so I mentioned that for the reason I don't remember right at the moment, but many people, I can say from my own life, same thing. I had an encounter with the Lord and, you know, but fortunately I went to church and I had people around me and I went to Bible study, but, you know, none of it made sense. I didn't have any understanding of anything, but I did get a revelation from the Lord about tithing and about giving. That was the very first thing I remember, and that has stuck with me all these years. And then there was the other thing about in Corinthians about the Holy Spirit, you know, where I guess Paul said, you know, you need not any man teach you, because the Spirit of God himself will be your teacher. And, you know, I remember that, you know, hearing that. So that was, you know, brought a level of comfort to me. But yet I went a lot of years without really knowing. I would read scripture, but I, you know, I didn't really know anything. And you don't know what you don't know. And I think there's many people in the body that they don't know what they don't know. And maybe you're just going around, you're slogging around, you just, maybe you hear something that somebody says, and then you take that at face value. Maybe you watch somebody on social media and you hear them say one thing, and then you take that as being gospel, but you don't know it for yourself. This is the time to know the Holy Spirit for yourself and to know God for yourself. And you've got to ask God to reveal himself to you, and don't look to others to be the one to tell you. You know, I think we've had a lot of, what do you call it? Well, like the birds do when they chew their food and then they give it to the babies. You know, they chew it up and give it to the babies. But the Holy Spirit is capable of giving you food when you read the word. So it's asking the Lord for revelation, asking the Lord to reveal himself to you, to reveal his word to you, so that you can be strengthened and that you can be part of this end time army. The Lord is, you know, the church, that think about the church, that's his bride that he's making ready. You know, he's looking for stuff. He's looking for things in us. He's looking for us. What's our commitment level to him? What is our desire in him? And are we going to go all the way? Are we going to finish it to the end? We're going to keep going. We don't want to be like King Solomon, just lose it all in the end, you know, with some mishaps. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get right with the Lord. Seen?
Not by might nor by power, not your gifting, not your ministry, but presence. Presence of the Holy Spirit, intimacy with God, oil in your lamp. If you're going to bring your lamp, then make sure there's oil in your lamp. Matthew 6:6, get in the secret place, shut the door, worship until his presence comes. In your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand, pleasures forevermore. No oil, no entry. You can't borrow it at the last minute. It's a word for so many people, but, you know, we just have to leave our Egypt. You know, we're invited to a feast. You know, the feast means Exodus is done. Psalm 105, he brought them out with joy. He gave them the lands of nations. You don't eat the wedding feast in bondage. Get up, my love, for behold, the winter is past. That's from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. We have to break agreement with our old seasons of bitterness and fear and sin consciousness, and enter that place where we begin to think, you know, with righteousness-minded thinking, because it is about the spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, not the law of sin and death. You know, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Isaiah 43:18. If he says feast, then stop packing for a famine. You know, invite others. Feast isn't just for you, isn't just for me. It's go, therefore, he says, Matthew 22:9, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears come. Become the invitation. Use your life. Use your testimony. Use the gold from the fire that God has artistically designed in your life. You know, old dogs can learn new tricks. You're not disqualified, but this is a time, a season, an hour for real repentance, to allow the Spirit of God to change anything and everything, to bring you to the place you can't bring yourself, to do for you what you could never do on your own, for it's truly a work of the Spirit of God. There's things we don't have to do, you know. Don't try to negotiate the menu when you're invited to the feast. Don't show up late, you know. While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came and the door shuts. Don't despise the invitation. You know, they paid no attention and went off, and judgment came. Matthew 22:22-5. Don't mix garments. In other words, grace and self-righteousness. New wine into old wineskins. It bursts. What were you thinking, Karen?
Well, I was just reading here in Isaiah 52:1-2. Awake, awake, Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter of Zion, now a captive. And this is a written prayer that I have here from Wanda Alger's book. Concerning that Isaiah 52, to the church in this hour, I say, wake up from your slumber and clothe yourself with strength. Shake off the failures of the past and the limitations of the flesh. Shake off the chains that have bound you to doctrines of man and clothe yourself with the Spirit's power. Wake up, Ecclesia, to the destiny that is before you. And that goes in line with what you were just saying, Scene. Get up, get up. We're not the wimpy church anymore. We're not the wringing our hands waiting for the rapture. I don't know why that bothers me. You know, I know there'll be a rapture, but I feel like many have just camped out there. I got saved. You know, I'm going to church, going to Bible study, and then, you know, I'm doing all of my things and waiting for the rapture. But yet there's so much more that God wants to do in your life and through your life. It's in not taking that escape mentality.
Yeah, it's like, you know, oftentimes we sit back wondering, well, what can I do now? What else can I do? Why don't we allow God to do what he wants to do? You know, just say yes. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes, Father. You know, you get clean. How do you get clean? By the blood of Christ. You got to get oil, Holy Spirit oil. You know, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Get up, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, Isaiah 60, verse 1. And go out and compel people to come in, he says in Luke 14, 23, that my house may be filled. Revelations 22, 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, he said it to you, now say it to others. Are you coming or do you have oxen to check on? Luke 14, verse 9. Because the only thing worse than missing the fire is missing the feast. It's time to enter in. And it's not based on anything that you've done. It's based on what Jesus has already done, paying the price, providing the grace that allows you to enter into the continuum of God's eternity.
Amen. Amen. Boy, if you haven't had that revelation of what Jesus did for you, you know, you can mentally assent to the salvation that's provided by the Lord. You can say, oh, yes, I agree with that. I think Jesus, I know Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me and he shed his blood for me. And then, you know, he rose again on the third day. And he ascended into heaven and he's now with the Father. You can mentally believe that, but it's with your heart. When you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, when you can say, I know Jesus, I know who he is, I know who he is by the Spirit, and I know who he is in his word. When you can say that, then nothing can shake your salvation. Nothing can take that away from you. And when you know that, then you want others to know that. And you would be a witness to him, for him, about him. And his desire is that intimate relationship. He wants you to call on him. He wants you to cry out. He wants you to pound your fist on the table when you don't get answers to things. He wants to hear your heart. He doesn't want to hear made up prayers or things that you've heard other people say. He wants to hear from your heart. He wants that honesty from your heart. Even though he already knows everything, he wants you to acknowledge it so that you can hear it, so that you can receive that healing from him. You know, a lot of times we just sit around and think about things. We think about ourselves. You know, I think we spend more time doing that than than anything else. Yeah, we're always in our head thinking about our own things. And why is that? It's because the enemy wants to keep us from acknowledging the Lord. The enemy wants to keep us bound up, tied up, and thinking about ourselves. That's what the devil wants. When you see people who have a heart for the lost, or people who have a heart for for the unsaved, for the poor, for the widows and the orphans. Those are the, you know, ask the Lord to give you that, give you the desire for those ministries. It doesn't have to be like full time, you know, on the mission field, but ask God to give you a heart for people. And when we begin to focus on other people and we want other people to receive the love of Jesus that he has put in us, then we can give it to others. If we don't have it in us, if we're not practicing and receiving that love from Jesus, then we don't have anything to give anybody. You know, we can, you know, say wonderful platitudes and stuff, but it doesn't change a life. But ask the Lord to give you compassion for others. Ask him to, you know, really ignite your heart for what he wants. You know, maybe you're called into work in the government. You know, ask God to help you. Where should I go? What should I do? You know, what area do you want me to focus on? And then, you know, be all that you can be in that particular place. If the Lord's calling you to be a foster parent, you know, find out all you can about fostering and then put all your energies into that. And God will bless that, and he will give you the heart. I know he does give the heart for foster kids, that the compassion of the Lord is there. Some people have it and some don't. But ask the Lord to give you his love for others. And when you focus on others, then God will take care of everything else in your life. And you don't have to be asking him for stuff, which is nothing wrong with asking him for things. But,
you know, today, if you hear, come to my wedding feast, thank God for the smith, because the hammer that hurt you was making you ready. His bride has made herself ready, Revelation 19:7. Ready isn't comfortable. Ready is not refined. Ready is refined. Ready is gold. Isaiah 48:10-11. See, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake I do it, says the Lord. So the smith's fire was for his name. The feast is for your joy. What fire is he blowing on your life right now? Name those coals. That's where he's forging your seat at his table. He's a holy God, and he's prepared a table for you. He's prepared a table for me. Come, let us enter that place where we can sit. He said, I prepared a table for you in the midst of your enemies. Time has come and time has gone, and, you know, there's always the other side. And, you know, any story sounds real until you hear the other side. But the truth is, he's sovereign. His providence has a calendar. His fire has a duration. And his gold has a furnace schedule. We're on schedule. We're on time. We're not behind. We're in God's time. A big difference, because, like, as I said, time is not random. Time is covenant. And even though things happen and there's life cycles, you know, as it says, to everything under the sun, there's a time, a season, and a purpose. And the purpose is that you are prepared to manifest what he has called you to. There are seasons in life. There are times and places, you know, things that we go through. But remember, nothing in your life is wasted, because, as I said, God is turning your dross into gold. The fire is not his punishment. The fire is his artistry. Go with the fire. Our God is an all-consuming fire.
Amen. Amen. Answer that call today. And just want to say, Lord, we just look to that time when all of heaven will manifest your glory on the earth. We ask for demonstrations of your power that would touch all of your creation. May the rocks cry out your name, and may your enemies fall to their knees. in the light of your presence and power. Rend the heavens and come down, Lord. Come and shake the earth with your glory and might. And Holy Spirit, we send forth a declaration to all who are spiritually asleep. Wake up and see the enemies at your gates. Wake up and see the threats that are before us. Wake up to see the devil crouching at your doors. Father, I ask that your Spirit will stir the hearts of those who are apathetic to your ways and alert them to the dangers ahead. May the fear of the Lord fall upon those who have yet to see the battles at hand. But join in with the Lord today. Ask the Lord today, Father, that you would come, that you would rend the heavens and come down into my life. Come into my life, Lord. Come and renew your fire in my life. Renew your strength in my life. Renew the desire for you, Jesus. Lord, we can't manufacture that desire for you on our own. You have to implant it in us, God. Lord, that you would awaken, awaken. I just pray over everybody who's listening that God would awaken your heart, that you would come alive in the name of Jesus, that you would come to life in Jesus' name, that you would rise to what the Lord is speaking to you today, that you would step up to the plate today, that you would let the Lord prepare you. Let him prepare your life for what he has for you in the future, for what he desires for you to do. Father, let your Spirit come. Let your presence come over each and every one who is listening, Lord. Father, may you ignite their hearts, that the passion for you, Jesus, let the passion of their hearts be for you, Lord, that you would be glorified.
Father God, we just thank you in the name of Jesus by the ministry and help of your precious Holy Spirit. That great grace abundantly blesses those that hear. Fill them, Lord God. Empower them every day with your grace, with your undeserved, unmerited favor towards these people, with your divine influence upon their heart that enables them to fulfill your will, your purpose, and your life, Lord God. The grace of the Lord Jesus is at work within these people, both to will do of his good pleasure. They're saved by grace, justified by grace, and enabled to fulfill his daily walk by grace. His grace and peace are multiplied to them as they humble themselves before you. And as they increase in grace and power, Father, you're performing signs, wonders, and miracles to bring glory to your own name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, draw your people together to be so hungry for fellowship with the Spirit and with one another that revival fire would spread from house to house. May we learn a new joy in being a community that is on fire for you. May we model to our city the kind of love and power that can only come when fully surrendered to you. May salvation come and revival spread as we pursue you together each and every day. And we thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this day. And I just ask your blessings upon all the listeners. And we thank you, God, for this time that we have had. And that we are out of time, just about. So, Sean, thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord.
It's always great having you here. All right, God bless. We will see everybody next week. Join me again next Friday at 11 a.m. as we bring forth.